This week is also the official start of the Muslim holiday Ramadan. While part of the month-long celebration focuses on the reading of the Quran, it's also marked by fasting from sunup to sundown. During the summer months, fasting can be particularly difficult. Yvonne Maffei is the editor and publisher of the blog My Halal Kitchen, which showcases healthy meals which are permissible under the Islamic faith. She's also the author of the book Summer Ramadan Cooking. She spoke with current state's Emmanuel Berry about faith, food, and how to prepare for this month's fast. Yvonne started by explaining why she, a Catholic raised Puerto Rican Sicilian, decided to convert to Islam.
After about 5 years of reading about Islam, I was just curious. And I thought Islam just really, as much as I read about it, in not so much a deeply religious sense, but more of a, you know, lifestyle sense, I thought that things really hit home to me, and I found that there were a lot of solutions to social ills and economic ills and, just everyday things that really made sense to me. But I never expected to actually feel like I wanted to embrace it as a religion until probably the fifth year that I started, that I was reading and studying about it. And then it just sort of penetrated my heart, and I felt that this was a decision that I was going to embark on.
Now, coming up is one of the biggest holidays within the Islamic faith, and that is Ramadan. Can you explain a little bit the significance of Ramadan?
The significance of Ramadan is that this is the month in which the Holy Quran, which is the book that Muslims follow as the divine word of God, this is the month that it was actually revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We use it as a time to reflect on the meaning of the Quran, and we recite it. Well, most people will recite it and read it throughout the year, but in Ramadan, there's such a focus on, reading the entire book. So it's like, once a year, you're really encouraged to at least read the whole book. So that's one aspect of it, and that reflection on the Quran is meant to give us self-reflection, to really look inside of us and who we are and to perfect ourselves. It's a time of purification, and we look at fasting as a form of purification for us, and that this fasting is, it's a help to us because it helps us to focus on what's truly important, and that is, not the food, but our relationship with our Creator, God, and with our community, ourselves, our family. It's when you fast, you don't have a lot of you're not so distracted by other things. You're really forced to think about what's important. I mean, I can't explain it in this sense. When you're hungry, so many other things don't matter anymore. I guess that's one of the ways I can describe it. And I really didn't understand that until I began fasting.
What was your first Ramadan like? Your first time fasting, because it wasn't something that you always grew up with. What was it like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I actually started fasting before I became Muslim. I wanted to try it. Like I said, I was very curious about, how this other group of people in the world did things, and the fasting was really a curious phenomenon to me, because I had experienced Lent, where, you abstained from meat on Fridays, and I thought that was kind of hard. At some junction, I mean, we were having, fish sandwiches at school on Fridays. And, so I thought, how do these people abstain from any food and any drink all day long? That must be so difficult. And also, because it starts at such a specific time and ends at such a specific time, I thought that was fascinating. So I tried it when I was a college student, and here I am, getting up at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and the fast is ending around 4:30 because it was winter time. So again, we're looking at the lunar calendar. So every year, the time of Ramadan is actually shifting a little bit. So, more than 10, 12 years ago, Ramadan occurred in the winter. And so the fast ended at around 4:30. And I thought, you know, this is such a piece of cake. I can do this. That wasn't hard at all. You know, by the time I wake up, you know, 10 o'clock to 4:06 hours without food. I was hungry, but, you know, easy. And I remember people telling me, oh, you know, you just wait. When it comes in the summer, you're going to be in trouble if you do things like that. You have to get up in the wee hours of the morning. You have to eat a proper breakfast and then, you know, prepare yourself for the fast. Because it's not meant to be done in a haphazard way. And it's not meant to make you suffer. And it's not meant to make you look lethargic and pathetic. You know, it's meant to teach you a lesson and give you some discipline in life. And so in my mind, I thought, well, when the Ramadan falls in the summer, I better be really prepared or I'm going to be in trouble.
And this year it is in the summer. It's coming up.
Yeah.
So how are you preparing for this, you know, differently than your first time?
Well, I think that I had a really good experience last year and the year before when Ramadan started creeping into the summer. Last year it was in the summer and it was quite hot. And this year, I've had those experiences in the last couple of years. And so what I'm doing is I am getting everything prepared. I get freezer items ready to go, things like chopped onions and garlic and tomatoes and sauces and beans. I do bulk shopping ahead of time. I label everything, order my meats, get everything very, very well planned and put away. The house gets cleaned up. And I also have a menu that I know exactly what I'm cooking for the early morning meal, which is the sahur, and then the iftar, which is the breaking of the fast meal. So I know what we're having every day, and I you know, make room for leftovers and things like that. And it really just helps me plan in my mind, you know, what we're doing. Because the fasting day, you know, during the fasting day, it's not very fun to be in the kitchen all day long. And it's not fun to be in the kitchen in the summertime anyway. So imagine if, you know, you're hungry and kind of, you know, a little bit, you know, your body is kind of slow because you don't have any food in your system. You know, the last thing anybody wants to do is spend hours and hours in the kitchen. And so I prepare really simple meals, lots of marinated things, lots of grilling options so my husband can help me by, you know, doing some of the cooking outside. So that combination of things has really, really helped. And, you know, just having things put up on the menu actually helps my husband help me, because then he knows what's going on and he can, you know, go to the freezer and pull things out. And, you know, it becomes a team effort. You know, once it's visible and on the refrigerator, yeah. You're not the only one who knows what's going on. And so that's what I have been doing for myself. And that's what I've been, you know, trying to teach on my website and in my presentations. You know,
and your book also, which is called Summer Ramadan Cooking, you also kind of share these things and recipes and things to cook for these meals. Give us an example of what a day looks like food-wise during Ramadan.
So that's a great question, because I think that a lot of times we think of, let's say, two meals a day, thinking of it as breakfast and dinner. And in Ramadan, the sahur meal, or the very early morning meal before the fasting day begins, I actually consider it almost like a dinner, in the sense that I don't really have any breakfast foods. I have foods that are rich in protein, like beans, eggs, meats, particularly meats left over from the night before. I throw them into eggs, and, you know, I don't have lots of bread or lots of caffeine, because it would not help us throughout the day to crash or to have that, you know, caffeine withdrawal headache or anything like that. And so I'm really focused on protein, and I'm also focused on hydrating foods. So I make things like smoothies that are filled with things like watermelon and citrus and strawberries and, you know, things that are seasonal as well. But we really need to hydrate very, very well. And that sahur meal is the time to do it, because it's the meal that's going to set the tone for the rest of the day. And so my typical meal would be maybe an Italian frittata And that can translate into eggs of any sort for people, you know, a fried egg, a boiled egg, you know, an omelet, and throw in some protein like chicken or turkey or, you know, something like that, maybe with beans on the side, because, you know, that's a very protein-packed meal for the remainder of the day. And then at a start time or the breaking of the fast meal, we always tend to break our fast with dates, like one or two or three dates, because that was the tradition of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It's not something you have to do, but when breaking the fast, you know, date is a perfect food to do that because it sort of raises your blood sugar level in a very appropriate way without overdoing it, as long as you're not having, you know, 20 or 30, you're fine, you know, but very moderate. And also having maybe a glass of water or juice or, you know, just something to kind of help, you know, help you get back to normal, I guess you could say. And then we break for a short prayer. We come back to the table and we have, you know, not a very heavy meal. I mean, your stomach can't really tolerate that much food after having not eaten all day long. So we'll have something, you know, light, like a grilled chicken. I have a wonderful recipe for Mediterranean spiced grilled chicken that I use for the summertime, and that's marinated in fresh herbs like rosemary and parsley and oregano and marjoram and lemon and olive oil. And then, you know, that's marinated all day long, and then we throw it on the grill and have it with a side of pasta salad or rice, or, you know, not too many carbs, but, you know, just enough, and a fresh salad. I mean, and that's light enough to get us through the night. And, you know, at nighttime we'll probably have more fruits and vegetables to just snack on, and lots of water and other hydrating things. But I feel like that iftar meal for us is very light because we need to also go to sleep and wake up very early for, you know, the meal to get us through the day. So, you know, and the food itself, you know, it can be really anything as long as it's halal. And I think that, you know, in the cookbook I try to, you know, make it very international, and, you know, it's not focused on any one type of cuisine. It's very focused on what seasonal for summer, and I encourage people to, you know, have local foods and go to farmers markets and enjoy what's fresh season and in their area, because that's what's, you know, typically healthier.
Why is this period of fasting, why is this something that brings you closer to your faith?
Well, I think that one of the most beautiful things is that everyone in our community is on the same schedule. On the same schedule of prayer and eating and not eating, and you know, there's really a focus on what's you know, what we are so blessed to have. Once you go without food, you are really sort of forced by default to understand people who don't have enough food or are critically lacking in food, and, you know, they're fasting perpetually. Basically, I mean, and that when you start to feel that, the hunger pangs, you become more empathetic. It increases the need to, the desire to give charity. And this is a very charitable month for Muslims. We're encouraged to give more to people in need, you know, regardless of faith, regardless of location, you know, to offer food and money and clothing, you know, to people who need it. And we believe that the rewards are greater at this time in doing so. And so when you're not eating, the focus, you're not focused on what is my next meal? What am I going to have? After a couple of days of fasting, maybe the first day or two, everybody's excited about the meal that they're going to have to break the fast. But after a couple of days, you know, that sort of wanes, and, you know, you have less distraction about, you know, preparing that lunch and preparing that, you know, 6 o'clock dinner, because we're probably not going to eat until 8:30, 9 o'clock. And the focus just becomes on your actions. You know, you're much more in tune with what you're doing, you know, how you're behaving, how you're talking, you know, how your relationships are with other people and with God. And it tends to really bring you closer to God, because you are looking, it's almost like looking at yourself in the mirror, you know, who am I? You know, you have that time to really think about your character I think most people do feel that by the end of the month of fasting, that something in them has changed, you know, something hopefully for the better. And, you know, you're looking at what can I do better for the rest of this year, for the rest of my life. And so it has an impact, and I think it's a very individual impact, you know, on people. And collectively as a society, hopefully that makes the whole community better for having been through that experience.
Yvonne Maffei is publisher of the book My Halal Kitchen and author of the book Summer Ramadan Cooking. Yvonne, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much for having me.